Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Today we are continuing our Lenten journey, our Lenten sermon series, Listen to Him. And so we've been traveling on this road with Jesus and the disciples, and the first week we saw Him in His glory on the Mountain of Transfiguration, and then last week He came down and we heard the famous words, ask, seek, and knock, but we looked at how much more would God give the Holy Spirit to us who ask than we would give good gifts to our own children or even our neighbors. Today we're going to continue with what I think will, for most of us, will be familiar words. But we're going to look at three parables that Jesus shares with us in Luke 13. If you're in one of the Emmanuel Bibles, 848. If you're in your own Bible, we're going to be Luke 13, starting with verse 18. And if you're in the app, it's there for you, right? All right, if you can and are able, with your help, please stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the gospel this morning. And let's hear these words. He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed into the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. And again he said, to what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus went through one town and village after another, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few be saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. When once the owner of the house has got up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then in reply, he will say to you, I do not know where you have come from. Then you will begin to say, but we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I do not know where you came from. Go away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrown out, then people will come from east and west, from north and south, and will eat in the kingdom of God. Indeed, some of the last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. This is the word of God for you, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart here be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So when I was playing football many years ago, I think it's probably fair to say, I'm coming over here for so y'all can hear the rebuttal. I think it's fair to say that I was slightly above average. That's fair. You want to do this?
Yeah.
I got to edit this whole thing already. So I was, Kyle, I was slightly above average, right? I mean, I could hold my own. See, he's going to give me that. He cares more than some people. But I was just slightly above average because I wasn't fast and I wasn't strong, but I was smart. And I did pay attention to the tiny details of the game. And so I knew, based on how a defensive lineman's hand was, what knuckle was turning what color, which way he was going. I didn't have to be stronger than him. I just had to beat him to where he was going. Then there's a train wreck. You fall to the ground, and your coach thinks you did something wonderful. I learned that the little things were all I had to hope for when it came to success in my playing days. When I was coaching, we happened to be going to a tournament one day, and let's just say the head coach turned around and looked at me and said, you did bring the lineups, right? Well, I printed them. So, of course, I brought them. Let me look at them. Nowhere to be found. I mean, they're to be found. They're on the printer at Burns High School, 2 hours away from where we're about to play a baseball game. I didn't understand why he was so mad. Just a little piece of paper. We once went tailgating at our rival's campus when I was a young boy. And my dad had just hurt his back. So I carried the charcoal, the little travel grill, all the meat, all the way down the hill to where we were going to, right by this pretty little creek. We get the charcoal going. It's beautiful. And he says, well, son, go back up to the car and get the cooking grate. I said, Daddy, there's nothing left in the car. He said, well, we can't cook without it. Go double check. I went double check. We had to throw away every piece of steak we bought because we had hot charcoal, but we didn't have the little wire rack. Well, y'all agree that sometimes it's the little things that are most important. One more. Stacy was in class because she was finishing up her master's, and it was the first time we were going to venture out with my mom and little Logan, and we were going to take him to go see my grandmother in the nursing home. So we get ready to leave the nursing home, and he's starting to whine, and we think, well, we better go to the car, feed him, change him, and then we can go grab us something to eat. I'd left the diaper bag at home. First trip out with the baby and no diapers and wipes, no big deal, right? And stop at the store and buy some. No bottles, no milk. We went back home. But today in our scripture lesson, Jesus is really saying the same thing to us, that it's the little things that are important. That it's the little things that matters. And he is comparing the kingdom of God, not your faith, not the Pharisees. He's talking about the kingdom of God, and he says it's like a mustard seed. Now, they would have known, and most of you know, that it's the tiniest of seeds. And we hear that it's planted, and it grows into this large tree, this large bush, and all kinds of birds could have made their nest in it. And he says, that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's like that tiny mustard seed. Then he goes and he says something even more offensive. He tells us the parable of the yeast. This one's really offensive because he's talking about something that shouldn't have been in this lady's kitchen. Because at the Passover, she should have thrown it all out. But she's obviously kept some. And now she's trying, I think in most of our translations, it said mixed in. Some of you may have had a note and it said hid. Because the Greek word for mix in actually in the Greek means she hid it. So that's one problem. The second problem is he's saying the kingdom of God's like a woman. Big no-no in the first century. But he's Jesus. He can say what he wants to. The third thing is this lady has so much flour that she could feed over 150 people. Most of it will go to waste. Another no-no. But she needed that much flour to hide that little bit of yeast. Well, what ends up happening? That little bit of yeast actually ends up leavening the whole bread. And she's now caught. And there's a lot of bread to be eaten. So what does any of this actually mean for us? Well, I think it's pretty simple. I think Jesus is saying the kingdom of God isn't large, powerful oak trees. It's not fancy, eloquent ingredients. It's the little things. In our upcoming devotion this week, you'll read these words. It says, seeds may look tiny, but they're powerful. One seed of wheat will produce on average 200 seeds of wheat. 200 seeds will produce about 40,000. 40,000 will produce about 8 million. 8 million will produce about 1.6 billion seeds of wheat. It's pretty crazy, isn't it? But you couldn't get all the billions without one. Did you know that there are approximately 2 billion people in the world today that profess to be Christian? And it started with one. It started with Jesus. And then he multiplied that into 12, which then into 70, which then into, you could go on and on and on until Pentecost, and then from on and on and on. And eventually, those seeds have multiplied to the point to where we are here. But none of that would have happened without the first one. So why don't we focus on kind of the little things? And we look at the yeast, and I can make the same statement. The tiny bit of yeast is so important to all the different. But to me, there's a deeper picture here. This lady was hoping to hide this yeast so she wouldn't get caught. And she knew that this was so much dough that she might not get caught. But it still impacted the entire batch. Are we together on that part? We have a lot of dough working against us as Christians. We have a lot of things that are trying to prevent the spread of the kingdom of God. What God needs is not for you or me or this church or that church to do something big and powerful. What he needs is for us to be a handful of yeast. That no matter what comes against us, it won't harm us. Because all it takes is a little bit of the small things. And no matter what the world throws at us, no matter what your life brings, no matter what horrible things you have to deal with, and some of them are truly horrible and unfair and unjust and undeserving. But if we can maintain who we are in the midst of them, we can impact a large quantity. So I think it's pretty clear that Jesus is telling us that the little things do matter. Our text continues, doesn't it? It doesn't stop there, does it? Jesus says, go the narrow way because the door's going to be locked. And the scariest words in Scripture come after that, in my opinion. I don't know you. Where did you come from? Lord, we ate with you. We drank with you. You preached in our streets. And what does he say? I don't know you. Go away from me. What if we go through all this playing church and we get there and the response is, away. That's what we have to have is some mercy. And I'm not telling you that you can earn your way into heaven. You can't. But you can work like it depends on it, and then you can trust the grace of God to finish it. I don't want to be a part of a church that ever has to wonder, well, what if we had tried to be more committed? I hope that that's stirring in you. And I hope you're hearing Jesus say, but it's just the little things that matter. Start small. Read your devotion. Get in God's Word. Say some prayers. Start small. I don't really do the Bible and the preaching, the praying thing. We got a bigger problem then. Well, I want to help serve. I just don't know what to do. Do you realize the difference it made for somebody to weed eat yesterday? For somebody to give up their Saturday to cut up a tree limb? They'll never get glory for that. But all of you got to pull up to a nice looking property. There's just so much more to be done here. But I don't want you to think, I don't want you to leave discouraged like you don't know what to do. Just do something small. We do so much for our kids and our grandkids. I mean, if they don't see us doing for the Lord, we failed them. I can promise you, you can pick the church. I'll let you pick the church. I don't care how much money they have, how many people they have. They would kill for the percentages of children we have at this church. That's because y'all have decided it's a priority. And it's a little thing, but it's going to change their world. So start at home. Start in your families. Start praying. Yes, I want awakening in this church. Yes, I want full-blown Holy Spirit revival in this church. There's two reasons why. One, it's biblical. Two, it's who Methodist people are supposed to be. I want so much more for you. I want so much more for my son than he could ever think he wants for himself. Y'all know what I'm saying? And most of y'all are older than me. Let's just tell the truth. But this church has taken me under their wings and helped me learn to fly. Now, I'm going to fall and crash and run into trees sometimes. But I want to get this church up, and I want to watch it fly. Praise God. Miss Phyllis, can you come play? I done messed you all up. I'm so sorry. We're going to stand, and we're going to sing hymn 402. Lord, I want to be a Christian. Think about, ask God to reveal some little things to you. What's he calling you to do? And then the choice to be obedient is up to you. Let's stand as we close our time of worship.